A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reveler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is now my sixth time preaching in Cramer Chapel, and I still get nervous, albeit for a different reason now than at first. My initial anxiety was the thought of preaching to my professors, and I have to be honest. When you see your homiletics professor, Dr. Fekencher, sitting just a few rows in front of you, it's a little intimidating, even though he's always looking back at you with a huge, winsome smile on his face. Well, this being my sixth time now, that particular anxiety, the fear of preaching to my professors, has lessened somewhat now that I'm a bit of a veteran to this pulpit. But a new one has been added to it: anxiety over what scripture text I'm going to be assigned to preach on. Last summer, for example, my text was from Romans chapter 1, where Paul writes about God's wrath being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In the fall, I preached on Amos chapter 5, where Amos begs the people of Israel to seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and it devour with none to quench it. And in today's text, from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul instructs the church in Corinth not to associate with sexually immoral people and other unrepentant sinners in the congregation, and to purge them from their midst. I have to say that these are not texts that I would ordinarily choose to preach on, hence my anxiety. But in the book of Acts, Paul told the Ephesian elders that he did not shrink from declaring to them the whole counsel of God. And preaching here in Cramer Chapel certainly gives you the opportunity to do just that, to declare the whole counsel of God. Declaring the whole counsel of God, preaching both law and gospel, is a central part of a pastor's work, not only on Sunday morning, but in all of his daily interactions with God's people. And that includes addressing sexual immorality and other sin in the congregation, as St. Paul did in his letter to the Corinthians. As Paul instructs us in today's reading, pastors must confront sin in their congregation so that by God's grace, sinners might repent of their sin and receive Christ's salvation. I mentioned earlier that preaching in Cramer Chapel still makes me a bit nervous. But the anxiety of preaching here doesn't equal the anxiety of finding out, for example, that a young couple who has asked you to marry them is living together, or for that matter, the anxiety of learning that one of your members is homosexual and that he's living with his partner. These kinds of situations are particularly anxiety-producing for the pastor in light of St. Paul's words in our reading for today. He says to the Corinthians, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Paul is clear. Unrepentant sinners must be removed from the congregation. Paul was writing specifically about a man in the Corinthian congregation whom Paul learned was having a sexual relationship with his stepmother. Most people would agree that that kind of relationship is wrong, even in today's sexually permissive culture. But what about a young couple in your own congregation who is living together before marriage? What do you do then? Especially in light of Paul's words. It's a tough question, and the answers aren't necessarily any easier. Confronting sin, and especially talking about sexual sin with another person, is tough enough, even if you are their pastor. But what makes that conversation even more difficult is that those individuals involved in sexual and other sin are most likely related to other members in your congregation. For example, mom and dad are overjoyed that their son is finally going to get married. Are you prepared to have them, not to mention their son, get upset with you if you decide that you can't perform the wedding unless he stops living with his girlfriend, now fiance? Are you prepared to deal with your elders or even the voters themselves if you believe that he should be denied communion and even excommunicated unless he repents? These sorts of questions can't be separated, of course, from the fact that you have your own wife and family to provide for. Are you willing to risk your congregation's health and even your ministry over this issue? But then again, what does God's word say? Our allegiance to God must come first, even before our career and livelihood. One of the things I wrestled with a lot during my time as a parish pastor was the issue of cohabitation and how best to deal with it. A couple comes to you because they want to get married, which is a good thing, a great thing. But then you find out that they're living together, which isn't a good thing. How do you reconcile the two, especially if the couple doesn't want to or can't physically separate and they don't want to move up the wedding date? When you consider these questions, plus the possible feelings of family members and even the congregation itself, it's tough to know what to do. So I'm not going to tell you what to do, for each situation is different. But might I suggest that you pray for God's wisdom when dealing with this situation in your ministry? For you will. And don't forget to lean on God's forgiveness and grace when you mess up. For you will too. Ask any pastor. These situations are hard, far, far harder than me standing up in this pulpit and preaching to you about them, even here in Cramer Chapel. Might I suggest one other thing to you too? Yes, these situations are hard, but don't take the easy way out by just ignoring cohabitation and sexual sin altogether. Believe me, it's incredibly tempting to do so. I know from personal experience just how easy it is to want to just keep quiet and perform the wedding, for example, without saying anything to the couple beforehand about their living arrangements or about what God's word has to say about sex outside of marriage. It's easy to keep quiet, not to rock the boat. But as the pastor, you are called and ordained to declare the whole counsel of God, including God's law and his disapproval of sin. As St. Paul writes in today's reading, it is your job to judge sin and sinners, and that includes confronting people with their sin and the consequences of it. There may be times when you just simply can't perform a wedding. There may be other times when you'll have to separate unrepentant sinners from the Lord's Supper, and even from the congregation itself. And that would be very, very hard. But you do so when all other efforts toward repentance have failed, so that they might not be separated by their sin from the Lord Jesus forever. That was St. Paul's overarching concern. Earlier in chapter 5, he told the Corinthians, "When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man," the man who is involved with his stepmother, "to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord." That sounds harsh, to deliver someone over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. But when someone's eternal salvation is at stake, sometimes extreme measures are necessary. The purpose of church discipline, including excommunication, is to help a person to see his sin, repent of it, and receive again God's grace and forgiveness. The purpose of confronting a person with his sin is to help him to see clearly from God's word his need for a Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died for his sins so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. And so as a pastor, you will be called and ordained to preach and teach God's word, to declare the whole counsel of God. That means that sometimes from the pulpit, as well as in the privacy of your own study, as you meet with a young engaged couple, you will have to preach and teach on those texts that you might otherwise wish you didn't have to deal with. And as we learned from Dr. Walther in our homiletics class, you are not preaching God's law rightly unless you preach it in its full sternness. Your job is to confront sin, as St. Paul did in the Corinthian congregation. But of course, that's not all that you are called to do, for the preaching of the law is only preparatory for the preaching of the gospel, the good news that we have a Savior from sin in our Lord Jesus Christ. Although we deserve to be handed over to Satan for eternity because of our sin, our Lord Jesus paid for our sins by his sacrifice on the cross. He suffered death and the punishment of hell so that we might live eternally in heaven. His blood cleanses us from all our sin, so that we might not have to live in it any longer. And he gives us all that he won for us on the cross, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation freely as gifts through faith in him. It is this good news of Jesus that you will also have the privilege to teach and proclaim from your pulpits and studies and in countless other places and venues. It is this good news that you will have the honor to proclaim in its full sweetness as you daily interact with God's people as well as with those who are not yet a part of his kingdom. It is this good news that not only cleanses the hearts of your hearers, but your own heart also. As you declare the whole counsel of God, both law and gospel, know that Christ is at work forgiving sins, changing lives, and saving souls. He will help you to proclaim his word boldly, winsomely, and rightly, even if you are still a bit nervous when you enter the pulpit, wherever that pulpit might be. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.